I want to go down as one of the greatest. I want our team to go down as one of the greatest teams, and we have an opportunity to do that. Hasn't been many teams that went back-to-back championships. It's so hard. And I said last year was the hardest thing I ever done, winning my first. Last year don't even come close to what we've gone through, you know, in this postseason.
All right. It is a good day, bad day. Welcome into the zone. We appreciate you tuning in. 10:07, Justin Akre, joined by Matt Stell. Bill Vickery will be along in no time flat, or so I can only assume. That was the arrangement we made yesterday. Bill Vickery is a bit of a moving target, Matt Stell, as I'm sure you've caught on to. I wanted to know for a day what it felt like to be on the morning show, to have an unbelievable collection of talent around you. I mean, of course, I get to work with Matty T and occasionally talented people like yourself, Matt Stell. But, you know, Tommy Smith just has a wealth of talented people around him. So what a fun opportunity. It's like being, you know, LeBron James playing a point forward and then having Tony and Bosh and all the guys.
You're more like a LeBron James in that, you know, so much of this show falls on your shoulders to do, whereas they're able to distribute and move the ball, as it were.
Yes, much like LeBron, I am playing headband free today, or if you prefer, sans headband.
Man,
so what did you we haven't talked in a couple weeks, I guess.
It's been a quick minute. Yeah.
What'd you think of the game? How about game six? Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I don't know.
Were you rooting for San Antonio?
Yeah,
I am too, but I wanted a game seven. I was torn.
Well, I guess it gives us plenty to talk about today, but that's pretty tough. You know, I just feel like, look, Manu's supposedly a Hall of Famer. Like, I love Manu Ginobili. He's unbelievable sometimes. Unbelievable game five. And then game six, you had eight turnovers.
Yes,
eight turnovers.
Manu Ginobili has modeled his basketball career after my golf game. There is the so good moments and the so terrible moments.
The money moments and then the what are you doing moments.
The last round I played, I had an eight turnover game. I had an eight turnover game on the golf course. It's hard to believe because he can truly dominate a game. He could truly take over a game in his special little Argentinian way.
His left-handed Argentinian like way. But he's just been careless with the ball, and that's when the Heat go on their big runs, because they're dunkers, they're finishers. If you turn it over, you're probably gonna lose. But there's a lot of things. Greg Popovich is the best coach in the world. And the reason that they lost in the last minute is because you didn't have the best power forward in the world on the floor. Chris Bosh got two offensive rebounds to kick out to those shooters.
Well, he would disagree.
Well, I disagree with him disagreeing, but I'll fight to the death for his right to disagree. This is America.
That is true. Good point. A few odds and ends for tonight in case you're interested. And, oh, by the way, there is some sad news today if you haven't heard. San Antonio Spurs favored by – or underdogs, rather, by 6 points. Almost caught you there. You were like, what? That can't be right.
What?
So here are a few of the numbers, okay? The San Antonio Spurs are 50-1 shots to win by 21+. They are 18-1 shots to win by 10 to 13 points. A Miami Heat blowout is a 6-1 proposition. So the odds makers in Vegas think if there's going to be a blowout, it will simply be a Miami Heat blowout and not vice versa. I will be surprised if either team blows the other team out tonight, which means, of course, we'll get a blowout tonight. Mm-hmm. Will LeBron James be wearing a headband at tip-off? Yes is minus 200. No is plus 150.
Huh. That's an interesting bet. I see why he wears a headband now, because he's having some hairline troubles, and he's also got that, I don't know, like some kind of scar on the side of his head.
Yeah.
It makes him look hard. I kind of like him better without the – makes him look like he's been somewhere, done something.
I don't see any odds here. I need to find some MVP odds. I mean, it's LeBron's basically a lock.
Yeah.
Okay, so if the Spurs win, is it Duncan's or is it Parker's or who gets it?
I think it depends on the –
Can I give it to Popovich? I guess not. He blew his MVP the other night.
I feel like Pop let us down, the best ever let us down.
Matt, Bill Vickery, Bill Matt Stell, how are you? Show still starts at 10:06. That's fine. Just roll whenever. I mean –
Tell you what,
you want to get into responsibilities?
Your real job is coming between us, Bill, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
You want to get into who remembers when to be on the air, where they're going to be?
I make mistakes occasionally.
I'd like to point out I've been on time 3 for 3 over here. I just wanted to interject that.
And Bill Vickery is a
he
very
can work on the show of no names.
he's a vital cog in the zone wheel. Vickery. Who is the MVP for the Spurs should they win tonight?
I like the point. It's not Popovich. How do you not have Tim Duncan in the game?
Because Bosch is in the game. Yeah, like, you don't need another
Ray
small...
Allen doesn't get the ball if Tim Duncan's in the game.
LeBron doesn't get that second three. Yeah. I don't get it. He's the best.
And was there ever an explanation for that?
They wanted five guards so they could switch the screens.
Yeah. Nah.
But you've got Bosch is in the game, so it's not like he's floating around going to get his own shot.
Haven't we seen this played out already by a coach that's not that good in Indiana when he didn't put a big man in the game and they were able to get to the rim or control the little area inside the paint?
Yeah. But even that, you've got like a true center trying to guard Bosch, who's one of these new hybrid guys. Yeah. Bosch step out and hit an 18-footer. But Tim Duncan has got mobile feet. He plays great defense. He's going to box out. Yeah. I mean, he's not a liability in any way with Chris Bosh on the floor.
How is a first ballot Hall of Famer a liability for you at inside the last 1 minute of a closeout game for a fifth championship?
Because he's super tuckered out.
Is he?
I don't know.
At that point, you can play 30 seconds.
I don't have the clip here.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I have the clip. I don't have the clip here, but he did the – professional thing, which is to say it is what it is, which I don't even know what the heck that means.
Yeah.
But he's not going to say anything negative about Pop at this point.
No, when they all get metaphysical problem. Like that, well, it is. Nick Saban does that, like, well, it is what it is. You know, they get very, they go zen all of a sudden.
Yeah, Saban doesn't have to say anything, luckily for him. No. By the way, more on that in a moment. We do have common ground, finally, between Brett Bielema and Nick Saban, oddly enough. So here's Greg Popovich talking about the last play.
On the last possession, we were switching at the three-point line to take away the three. And, you know, Borsch Diaw's got a little bit more speed than Tim Duncan, so it makes sense to have him out there reading at the three-point line. Unfortunately, we had two guys that went to LeBron and didn't switch with Bosch, and he went right to the hole, and he's the guy that got the rebound. So it has nothing to do with Duncan.
It has nothing to do with Duncan. Maybe you guys should pay attention.
Right. It has everything to do with Duncan. That's the sign of a guy who's made a mistake but doesn't want to admit it and then talks about why his plan didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, he's the great – I get it that he substituted that. That was a cerebral move. Like, I understand. Okay, well, Borsch Diaw, who has been unbelievable, that dude has dunked more donuts in the past 5 years than he has balls. Yeah. Like, and he's guarding LeBron James. Yeah. Like, what does that say about his outside game? It's just atrocious. But I get the idea. Okay, put some speed on the perimeter. But
sometimes they outthink themselves, I think.
Yeah. What's the best ever in the game, man?
Right.
Let the big dog eat.
Here's the one thing about not having Duncan in the game. It's not about Duncan in the game. He says it wouldn't be about Duncan in the game if you had him in the game.
Right.
And then if they lose, you lose. At least it's like, well, at least you had your best guys on the floor.
Yeah, lose with your best guys.
And he also sat Parker late in the game, too, which had a lot of people scratching their heads.
He sat Parker possession for possession to get the size on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm. And I could see Tony Parker wasn't having a good game.
But Manu Ginobili can play 40 minutes.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I agree with you. But the first question you asked, though, who would be the MVP? To me, it's Kawhi Leonard because of the defensive job he's done on LeBron in the first three games for sure, and the fact that now that's a Miami team that hasn't played like a Miami team offensively for sure. They do in quick spurts, but when they have to walk the ball up and Leonard can set up on LeBron and if you notice, he'll pound at 10 dribbles and be no further to the bucket than he was when he caught the ball to begin with. And now you're deep in the shot clock. Here comes that 17-footer that he can't make consistently.
They go under every pick and roll. Every time a forward goes and sets a screen for Miami, if it's Wade, Chalmers, or LeBron handling the ball, that guard goes underneath the screen. Like, I don't do that in rec league. How can you not hit that shot? Like,
they're begging them to
Greg
hit it.
Greg Popovich is like, look, we'll ride it.
Right.
You beat us. You win a ring with 18.
But you know what? Man. They're tentative, and he knows that. Yeah. They don't want that. They don't want that shot. And frankly, if they're going to win tonight, they don't need to take that shot either. I don't care if you get it all night. You've got to be aggressive. The thing is, there were a couple of numbers we looked at yesterday. San Antonio out-rebounded Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They had fewer turnovers than Miami, and they still lost the game.
Yep.
Now, they didn't shoot 60% for the game. They did shoot 60% in the first half, however, after shooting 60% in Game 5 and winning with an unbelievable offensive performance. They shot like crap because they ended up like 43% for the game. I don't know what they ended up shooting the second half, but it was pretty pathetic.
Duncan was 10 for 11 or something like that.
He was insane.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was insane. But you know, that's a very good point. You have to ask yourself, if you're San Antonio and you see that was that the game that slipped away where you did play well, again, in almost a mirror image of the night before or the game before? You played well. Should have won. Up five under a minute. I mean, you should win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And do you then come out tonight sort of resigned to the fact that you lost your chance, or are you upset and said, that I can't believe we lost that. Let's get back on the floor as quickly as possible because we're better. We're going to win.
I don't know that I can remember this ever happening, in my lifetime at least, that any one of three or four guys could be the MVP for San Antonio, depending on how he plays tonight. If somebody comes out and scores 25 or 30 tonight and they win, they're probably going to win the MVP, because I think it's still up in the air between Parker, maybe even Ginobili, certainly Duncan. And you mentioned Kawhi Leonard, who's been unbelievable on defense. I don't know if they're going to commend that enough with an MVP, but I mean, he's a guy that you could certainly make a case for.
Yeah, yeah, and before last night, Danny Green would have been as viable of a MVP as you
And if he comes out and scores 27 tonight, why not? Yeah. He set an NBA Finals record for three-pointers made. If he makes six tonight or seven tonight and scores 25 or 30, why not?
There's another one,
Joe Klein's going to join us in a second. The only way I could get him to come on was I told him Vickery was going to be in.
Oh, my man.
Klein has a man crush on
Vickery. I've got a huge crush on Jumpin'
Well,
Joe.
It's mutual, yes.
Jumpin' Joe.
Email from Easy, who says, LeBron's Nike shoes on hold with two-time champ, and they remind me of the premature parade Dallas planned several years ago and ended up losing. Do they know something we don't? Here's another one folks are referencing. In the 2013 six NBA Finals games, not one player has fouled out. And yeah, Joey Crawford is officiating. Good point. Have you seen the shoes?
Yeah.
The two-time champions? Online, yeah. That is, that's jumping the gun just a skosh.
It poor guy. Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for LeBron. I really do.
Right.
I mean, he didn't do that. That's an exec at Nike.
Same handlers?
Do
you think that Jim Gray arranged for those shoes?
I don't know that it's that. Or what's his name? Maverick, that's his manager. LeBron's manager. Maverick.
I don't know. Idiot.
Yeah, anyway, that's his last name.
Yeah,
that's
he's not done a good job.
Yeah, but those are his people. That's not. I'm beginning to feel sorry for LeBron because I think he's a victim of stuff that's out of his control.
Yeah, whoever's advice. The thing about LeBron is you can't make a case for him being like a bad citizen. He does so many things right. But I can't get with him after him leaving Cleveland because it's...
You're still bitter about that?
Yeah, I really am. He's the first of, like, to me, he represents the first of this changing of the guard to this kind of new school way of thinking, and it's like my generation, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
And whereas Jordan, do you think for a second Jordan would have gone, well, Chicago's not giving me what I need here.
Right.
It's like saying, if you can't beat him, join him. Jordan would have never said that. And that's my gripe with LeBron. But he's unbelievable.
Well, Michael Jordan thought he could make the Wizards or the Bobcats viable, too.
But I like that about him.
Yeah, I
like the fact that he's so competitive, he's tacky at his own Hall of Fame speech. Like, I like killers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Kobe is a killer. And say what you want, the guy is out to, like, kill you. And I just feel like LeBron sometimes is a little bit passive where I want him just to go dunk.
He could beat me in a foot race right now, but yes, Kobe Bryant could definitely kill me if he ever got a hold of me.
I do think, though, there was an element to the way that he did it. And maybe it was the time, too, and the fact that LeBron came in with all the hype. Because no one got mad at Barkley for chasing a ring when he was in Phoenix and Houston. You know, he should have never been there.
But he's a guy that gave whatever many years in Philadelphia and tried.
Yeah,
I mean, at least he gave
a real
yeoman's effort.
But no one got mad at Malone for moving to L.A. Gary Payton went 17 different places.
That's true. But with
Steve Nash is a guy exactly like that. But guess what? 95% of the time, and that's an exaggeration, of course, it doesn't work out.
Right.
They
yeah.
chase the ring and it doesn't
it
happen.
It never works out.
No one has called. And you name some of my favorite players. No one has ever made the case that any of them might be the greatest ever.
Yeah.
LeBron James is the only one that people say. And he was on Sports Illustrated when he was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
He's had pressure from the time he stepped on an NBA court till now. Like, an amount of hype that no one else has had and has, in most situations, live up to it, especially if they do something special, you know, tonight, has lived up to it. And I still can't get on board with them because of this if you can't beat them, join them attitude.
Here's another stat. The Spurs outscored the Heat in the paint 60-36
in
Game 6.
Wow.
That's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, I made the point yesterday, they outplayed the Heat. You picked a number, 80%, 85%, 90% of the game, still didn't win.
So is that something that is that been a pattern, though? I think you can look back at the previous six games and say that, with the exception of Game 2, this is a San Antonio team that's been better consistently than this Miami team. So if that holds, all good gamblers then go back and look at those stats. If that holds, then can you say, you know, with some degree of an educated guess, okay, tonight they should win because Miami kind of pull that one out of there, you know what. It kind of it fell out of the sky for him. It was a luck deal. You can't expect that to happen twice in a row. Can you say that, or could you? I mean, you said it correctly. The wild card is LeBron. LeBron could get 40, 15 rebounds. You know,
he had a triple double in Game Six. Like, and it's like
it was quiet.
We're not even talking about the fact that he had a triple double. Yeah. The dude just he gets buckets, he gets stats.
No, he set the bar to an unfair level for himself.
He's a creative player.
I almost don't care what happens tonight. I will go down for the rest of my life, whatever the outcome is tonight, saying that San Antonio is the better team. They may not win the series, and LeBron James can be that much of a factor as he was the other night in the overtime period and in the fourth quarter, but I still think the better team is the Spurs. Yeah. And if I had to ride a team long-term, that's the team I would ride.
And so what does that mean for this Miami team? I mean, is it a bizarre thing to say that the window has closed after this year? Because Bosch has been exposed. Now, you've seen him play poorly now in two or three series in a row, and Wade is beginning to look old, and it just well he is yeah. he's hurt he's genuinely hurt I think, and the rest of the guys just I mean Ray Allen's 72
I thought Colin Cowherd made a great point the other day that regardless of if they win or lose, the Heat you got to butcher your pigs when they're fat.
Right.
And you can't load up on these long-term Colin Cowherd.
He read that in a book.
There's a man who's never stepped foot on a farm in his life.
He has no idea. You're right.
Colorful farm, country language. I like
it. It's a bucolic analogy there.
Yeah, but you have to blow that team up because if you don't, you're going to get saddled with these long-term deals.
You don't want to saddle a pig.
Yeah. No, you can't.
Especially at butcher time.
You don't saddle a butchered pig. Just
even better. I like that.
You know,
you took that added to it. See that? That's
you can get
to
the next level.
Good looking steak.
You don't saddle a butchered pig.
Sticking your head up a butchered pig's.
There you go.
Wouldn't you rather take the butcher's word for it or the guy who saddled it?
Oh.
Wait.
Tommy boy.
The sad news from this week, of course, we found out last night James Gandolfini has passed away. And anybody who's ever wanted to be in the mafia appreciates James Gandolfini as sort of the one of the iconic figures in mafia history as far as Hollywood and television go.
Only man in cinema history who made breathing a part of acting. Anytime
you know what's funny?
And we're shocked he died of a heart attack?
I know. Yeah. Yeah, admittedly. And it's you know what's interesting? I actually watched the Actors Guild setting that he did. Mm-hmm. I don't know when he did it. But he was talking about how he said, do you need to play fat? And he goes, yeah, because when I get thin, and that's not real often, I don't feel like the character.
Character, yeah.
He said, I can't be that guy when I'm thinner. And amazingly, at a young age, it catches up to he's 51, right?
Yeah, something like that.
That's
the
amazing.
The man's never been thin.
I mean, but it was incredible listening to listening to him breathe is part of his persona.
You watch those old Sopranos episodes, most of his screen time
breathing.
Is
I want to see what this sweat. The script just says, like, you know, kill him. Heavy breathing.
Right,
like parentheses.
And his collars on his shirts. You notice you never saw the man with much of it. He didn't do a lot of scenes in ties.
No.
You know, even though they did dress up.
Here's a prophetic phrase from Sopranos.
It's two endings for a guy like me. High-profile guy. Dead or in a can.
No doubt. That happens to all of us.
Well, I was going to say, theoretically, that's anybody.
You just described every politician,
right?
And anyway,
high profile guy like him,
high profile guy like
he
me,
did a great job. He was a gifted breather.
One of my favorite characters he ever played was actually he was in a couple really really good ones. We talked about it. I guess we were just talking about characters the other day. Maybe I was talking to somebody about this last. Anyway, he played his character in True Romance, which he talked about inside the Actors Guild, which was good. And it was a smaller role, but it was, you know, pretty important. And, of course, he ends up beating Patricia Arquette to death in one of the strangest movie scenes ever.
Yeah.
And then the one he played the muscle in Get Shorty.
Yep. Yeah, Bear.
Yeah, Bear. Right.
Bear.
Yeah, he was a great, great character actor in addition to being a great mob
Can I
boss.
Just observation moment. We're watching The View in here while we're talking about you having Bravo TiVo'd at your home, and I just want a ruling on that.
I don't have Bravo TiVo'd.
It's in a gray area.
That's what the Actors Guild's on, right?
No, I was watching it online this morning.
Oh. Oh.
I will say this. If Joey Crawford were officiating this, we'd go to the replay.
What is that crap about stopping the ball with 5 seconds? That's a fast break.
Now, wait
a
minute.
That was a huge point in the game, too. You're exactly right.
I've never seen it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, maybe, whatever.
They reviewed Ray Allen's three?
Well, but they have to make sure it's a three because it changed the entire game. If it's not a three, then if you're San Antonio, you need to know that because then you can hold on to the ball. Otherwise,
it's clearly the shot of the official.
And the thing is, if Miami, if it's not a three, Miami has to foul. If it's a tie game, you don't.
5 years ago, the ball's not stopped anyway. I guess
that
could have
been a length of the court pass, and
that could have been anything. Yeah. Think of what they did. Gary Neal did it in game four.
Here's an idea: just get the call right.
But that's what I'm saying. It wasn't a hard call. He was standing from me to the pig paperweight holding the window shades open. Like, it was that close.
You'd have to actually – that has no relevance for anyone, but yes.
Let me paint everybody a word picture. There's a set of blinds here that don't stay up on their own except for this pig cinder block, Razorback holding it down, everybody. And it's about, I don't know, 10 feet from me. It's a good par.
Can you tell if that pig's feet are on the line or off the line from the edge of the windowsill?
It depends. Is it – which one's the line?
I think that's a rule that all three-pointers inside the last 30 seconds have to be reviewed.
They don't stop after every 33-pointer, though. They don't stop.
I think Breen said that when they
– But they don't stop every play, though,
stop.
Bill.
You're looking at me.
I don't have a problem with them doing it, but I'm just saying it was
it does change the game.
Some people thought that Popovich was upset because – I don't know what they thought he was mad about. I heard people talking about this yesterday, but he was mad. He's like – You can't do that. You can't stop the play right there.
Yeah, basketball's too dynamic of a game to stop the game like that. Well, it works in baseball. It works in football because there's time in between these plays. Basketball, you got to pick and choose.
People made the point. They said, well, you know what? San Antonio didn't have a timeout, so it benefited them too. Well, no, because you have experienced players that don't need a timeout. You were going to let them play on anyway.
Yeah.
And so all it does is allow Miami to set up defensively, which they got no good look at all.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, unless you consider Tony Parker fading out of bounds, throwing it up over a guy and the backboard a good shot. I don't.
I want to go on record saying I do not think that's a great shot.
Okay.
I agree with you, Justin.
Not to say that you haven't taken it over your career at some point.
I've taken – let it fly.
Let me get Jeff in here. Apparently, Joe Klein has gotten a better offer, so we'll have to talk to him at another time. But, Jeff, go ahead.
Jason Akerson, you rock.
Thank you, sir. It's Akerman. Akerman, please.
I'm
for Jeff.
You started this big war.
What was that Gandolfini movie you mentioned?
True Romance.
True Romance. That movie's awesome, and also a Coen Brothers movie, The Man Who Wasn't There. He's in that.
Yes.
That's good too.
Great in that movie.
But, you made my point for me. I love sports, but I hate the NBA. I've always said they should just play the last 2 minutes. And you said it. Name the number. 80%, 85%, 90% Spurs were better. It didn't matter. I think the NBA is a terrible sport, and that's all I had to say.
I don't understand why.
Why don't they just play the last minute?
Well, I mean, what's amazing about the NBA, and I think what makes it great, is the point you just made, is that a team can outplay the other team for 85% of the time and still lose the game. I think that's amazing.
Four of these six games have been decided in the second quarter, third quarter, too.
That's true, too.
I mean, this is coming from an NBA apologist. Yeah. Like, I like that brand of basketball. Just, to me, visually, I enjoy it. But you could make that case about a lot of sports. Certainly, if you're a NASCAR fan, which I am. You know.
Unfortunately, for Arkansas football fans, most of those games were decided in the second quarter last year also.
College football is fantastic because, I mean, in the NBA, that whole winning in the last minute may happen 50% of the time. In college football, when that does happen, it's very rare, and that makes it more exciting. Because if somebody comes back and they're 14 down and they win in the last 3 minutes, that's amazing.
I tune into NBA games and I see that a team is down 14 and I know it's not over. That's exciting to me. That's interesting to me.
Well, that's cool. We disagree. That's great.
Yeah, we can agree to disagree on this one. I'm right, though. So it's but I do appreciate the call.
Jeff, stick with the Jason Akerman story.
You're not alone, though. I mean, there are plenty of people who don't like the NBA. Here's my options on the NBA. You either have it or you don't. I think the world's a better place with the NBA.
Look, I love the NBA, especially this time. This series has been a great series. It's been an advertisement. But, you know, to his point, I never watch hockey. I've never watched hockey in my life. I've watched two of these final matches. Because in overtime, they just play till somebody scores, and then it's over. There's no timeout. There's no anything. It is edge of your seat stuff between Boston and Chicago when they get into one of those overtimes, because it could end any second. And I think that's what Jeff's getting toward. If you take that last 120 seconds or the last 100 seconds of an NBA game and you say, okay, guys, go after it. It's dramatic stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they're great athletes, man. It's
the most amazing thing to see, you know, just from a person who's loved the game for a long time, to see players that there's a person on every team that one human being cannot guard them.
Right.
And that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, to me. I'm for the NBA.
Fascinated by your fascination.
Could Miami play tonight without Eric Spoelstra on the bench at all?
Who?
The guy that gives the water with the hair.
Should he just be the guy with the towels that comes out to meet him at the timeout and starts
passing? I have to admit, though, there was a moment during the press conference yesterday where I thought to myself, one of two things is going on. Either he's the smartest son of a gun in the world, and he knows something that nobody else knows.
Yeah.
Or he's just as clueless as I think he is, and I can't. There is this sort of wry, knowing smile that he was exhibiting yesterday during the press conference, and I couldn't put my finger on it, and I couldn't decide if I wanted to tip my cap to him or punch him in the face.
Nah,
we're gonna find out tonight.
Imagine if he were to leave Miami, how many NBA teams would rush to hire Eric Spoelstra tomorrow?
The same number that hired Mike Brown, and you know what? He got a job after that implosion there. So
he's worked two places.
I can't wait until the Outside the Line special with Jeremy Schapp, because every story they do is like a gender or racial inequality story. I can't wait till they do that on Spoelstra, because I don't know what he is.
Like, it's a great point.
I need Jeremy Schapp to tell me who he's representing in a positive light.
Does he unzip his face at night and then reveal himself?
I can't put that together.
You know who he reminds me of? The one thing he does remind me of is the old defensive coordinator from Arkansas, the guy that ended up coaching him in the bowl game after Nutt stepped down. What's his name? The guy, he's the linebackers coach. He went to the Cowboys. You know what I'm talking about.
The linebackers are so horrible.
Why can I not think of his name? Anyway.
He
looked like a biff.
He was horrible.
He looks like a biff. Anyway, but every time he did an interview, he went out of his way to try to use words that he wasn't sure what they meant.
Yes!
And try to sound overly intelligent.
Yes!
Now, how dumb do I sound now because I can't think of his name? But anyway, Spoelstra seems that way to me. He's like, I'm going to say something really profound here. Best words in professional sports. Two words. Game 7. I know he wanted to say the Game 7, but he did at least have two words there.
We were splendiferous tonight on the defensive end of the ball and spectacular.
Reggie Herring. Yes, he is the NBA's version of Reggie Herring.
Spectaculous on defense.
He is a glorified interim defensive coordinator coach, except he's a glorified videographer, basically.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff Van Gundy said he's a really talented guy, and Van Gundy, like, if he speaks, I listen. Joe Klein said the same thing. Joe Klein knows lots of stuff.
I trust
Joe's
judgment.
So,
yeah,
but
of course,
but
you
from
do.
The outside looking in, Boyfriend. It's kind of like they roll the ball out on the court. It's like, who wants to dunk it? Whose turn is it to dunk it?
Yeah.
All right, we got play number one. LeBron, you dunk it.
Right.
All right, number two, Dwayne Wade. You go dunk it.
You see Mario Chalmers holding the one finger up as he's dribbling the ball down the floor. No. Get out of the way.
You know, his performance got lost in all this. He played really well.
He shot
the ball extremely well the other night.
Hey, Chris Bosh had a great game 6. That's their X factor. When he plays well, they're tough, man. Even with D-Wade being so inconsistent. Those offensive rebounds and that foul that he fouled Danny Green on that last-second three-pointer.
Fouled him.
Yeah, and he blocked Tony Parker's shot when they tried to get that 2-for-1 there at the end.
Yep.
Like, he came up
big.
You really think he fouled Green?
I think so.
I think he almost blocked the ball into his face because it was so clean. That's what I think. That's not going to get called. Although, I thought it was an awfully aggressive play. That was a pretty risky play because if you found there, you feel pretty stupid.
Yeah, that is true.
Foss does look like he has a couple synapses that aren't firing. We got to take a timeout. 10:36, long segment, gracious.